Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to go back to John's Gospel again this morning. John chapter 11, beginning in verse 45. We're going to read through verse 19 of chapter 12. So starting in John chapter 11, verse 45, this is God's word. "Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. 'What are we accomplishing?' they asked. 'Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.' Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. 'You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish.' He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, 'What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all?' But the chief priests and Pharisees had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. 'Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages.' He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. 'Leave her alone,' Jesus replied. 'It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me.' Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!' Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O Zion, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The main point today is as Jesus' enemies plot to kill him, God is at work to keep his promises and carry out his plan. Have you ever been in a situation where you had an idea of how you wanted things to go and they didn't go that way? Is it because God is against you? Well, if you're in rebellion against him, then yes. But what if you're trying to serve God? What if you really want God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? And yet you kind of think you know what that looks like, and God doesn't seem to be making things work the way you want it. In these verses, we see a number of things that remind us of the sovereignty of God, that he is at work even when things do not go the way we planned, they go the way he planned. And I'm going to suggest to you that the key verse for this passage is in chapter 12, verse 16. Let's look at that. Chapter 12, verse 16. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. His disciples, those closest to him, didn't understand what was going on. Even when Jesus told them what was going to happen, they didn't believe it. Because it didn't fit at all with their idea of how things should go. And furthermore, it wasn't just Jesus told them these things concurrent with the events and just before the events. Jesus had spoken these things in the Old Testament. The Old Testament laid out what was going to happen. It's God's word. And they didn't get it. No, I don't think that's what that means. Surely not. So, I want to look at three particular parts of this as we go through. First of all, beginning in verse 45, chapter 11. Many of the Jews who'd come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Folks are coming to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Now, was that maliciously they did it or just in excitement or they thought the Pharisees ought to know? You know, I mean, after all, it's looking more and more as if this Messiah really has come. It's that Jesus of Nazareth guy. And so, you know, we need to let the powers that be know this. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees said, we need to have a meeting. So they called a special meeting of the Sanhedrin. Those were the rulers of the Jews, the religious rulers. What are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. Notice, they didn't doubt that he was performing many miraculous signs. They couldn't dispute that. He's performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. What were they afraid of? Was life good for the Jews under Rome? No. Their situation was not a happy situation, but it was a known situation. Why do a lot of people stay in abusive relationships? Because at least they feel like they can cope. And if they went out into the unknown, they have no idea what would happen. These folks were not in a happy situation, but among the Jewish people, they were in the happiest situation. Okay? We may not have a lot, but by God, we've got more than those people. They were the rulers of the Jews. They were respected. They wanted to keep their position. They did not want to give up what they perceived as being as good as we can make it. They were afraid that if Jesus really is received as the king of the Jews, Rome is not just going to punish Jesus, they're going to punish all the Jews. We don't want that. So we've got to get rid of him. And you have a prophecy given by the chief priest. Caiaphas was a bad guy who's going to be leading the charge to get rid of Jesus. He's a murderous villain. But because of his position, God spoke truth through him that he didn't even understand. Please notice this. Verse 49 of chapter 11. Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. Here's what he said. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. What was he saying? He was saying, we need to kill this guy. We need to kill Jesus. Because if we don't, the whole nation could be destroyed by Rome. So let's kill him. Better for one man to die for the people. Well, that's a wicked thing to say. Well, yes and no. He meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Please notice what God the Holy Spirit tells us in his word about what God the Holy Spirit was doing prophetically through that wicked high priest. Verse 51, he did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. And so from that day on, they plotted to take his life. What? You're saying God spoke through that man? Yes, and the man didn't even know. He thought he was being clever. He says to the rest of them, you don't know anything. Let me tell you how it really is. And the fact of the matter is, he was speaking truth even though he meant it deceitfully. Wow. So God, the Holy Spirit, can work through somebody who doesn't really know God and is in fact an enemy of God? Yeah, let's see. I can think of a few examples. Like, I don't know, Pharaoh? Nebuchadnezzar? God accomplished his purpose back then, even through people who were trying to do their own will in opposition to God. God says, I got this. Now, why am I emphasizing that? Is it to say that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do? Not exactly. It is to say that even if you make a wreck of your life, God is still going to accomplish his purpose. God's word will not return to him void, but will accomplish that for which he sent it. In some cases, it is for the salvation of the lost. In other cases, it is for the destruction of God's enemies. Please understand, God isn't saying here that because he is sovereign, your actions do not matter. What he is saying is that your actions do not undo his sovereignty. God is working out his plan, and his plan will be accomplished.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Second thing in this passage that I want us to look at. Mary does something at the dinner that is given in Jesus' honor and in Lazarus' honor that becomes one of the most famous events in world history. Mary totally pours out about a pint of really expensive perfume. This was worth a year's wages. It was so expensive that, I mean, Judas was a scoundrel, but he wasn't exaggerating when he said, this thing is could have been sold. It's worth a year's wages. So, how much does that person make in a year? It doesn't matter. Okay? This person makes a whole lot more money in a year than this person. But a year's wages for anybody is a ton of money. You understand? This was a super expensive thing that she just poured out on Jesus. And Judas was upset. It was wasteful. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? You poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with your hair. I think that's a very inappropriate way to behave. What are you doing? This is not okay. Jesus said, leave her alone, because Judas is rebuking Mary. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Well, can she at least be rebuked for not saving it for the day of your burial? Jesus says, you don't realize, but I'm about to die. I've been telling you I'm about to die. I'm about to die. This was done as an act of love for me. And you need to understand that you're not going to have many chances to do things for me because I'm going to be gone soon. They didn't get that at all. His own disciples still didn't process that. But Jesus knew what was going on, and Mary knew what was going on to a limited extent. She's still going to be really surprised. But God used this to again honor Jesus and point to his death and resurrection. What Mary did was a beautiful expression of love that Jesus welcomed. Jesus didn't scold her. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing. In fact, Jesus says that what she did is going to be told wherever the gospel's preached. This is going to spread. This story is going to spread all over the world. It was a beautiful thing. Judas, talk about a waste. He's saying, why this waste? He's the waste. He's the one who received the word of God over and 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 over. And still, instead of surrendering to Jesus, surrenders himself to the forces of darkness and sides with those who are out to arrest and kill Jesus. And he does it for just a little bit of money. What a waste. We think of Judas. How horrible. What a dreadful fool. But let me ask you, what's your price? Is there a price at which you would be willing to betray Jesus? What if you could become a famous musician? What if you could be a famous actor or a sports star? What would it take in order for you to sell out? I've seen people sell out to get their name in the paper. I've seen people sell out in order to get a bigger church. I've seen people sell out in order to get a bigger paycheck. It's not worth it. Lying, cheating, not worth it. Not worth it. Third point. The celebration of Jesus' arrival. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. The next day, that great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, and they were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey. John just compresses this whole thing. Okay? Why? Because it is part of the continuation of God fulfilling his word. For it is written, as it is written, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. I would never have planned that as the way for Jesus to arrive. Okay? I mean, if we believe he's the Messiah, let's get him a white horse. Beautiful, big, well-mannered, but very impressive and powerful stallion would be nice. Jesus was the one who selected the animal that he'd be on. He told his disciples where to go get it, and what to say when people said, what are you doing? Because this was what had been promised. He comes in peace. He's not coming in order to overthrow the Romans. He's coming in order to overthrow Satan. He's going to defeat the enemy by letting the enemy do his worst. He's going to lay his life down. Wow. And people going in front of him, and they're putting down palm branches, and the children are cheering. You read the other Gospels, and you find that Jesus' enemies are saying, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. They're quiet, stones will cry out. Jesus is who he is, and the opinion of the world does not change it. And your opinion doesn't change it. If you don't believe in gravity, you're still not going to start floating. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you're still going to have to bow before him one day. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.